Hallelujah. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we continue with our this morning's sermon topic, the seven sayings from the cross. Last week, I shared with you the first saying, which was, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. This statement, this first statement, he had uttered after he had undergone such brutal and horrific and humiliating treatment under the hands of the Roman guards. His beard plucked from his face. His back was beaten and bruised and whipped raw. A crown of thorns placed on his head. His beard plucked from his face, and people spit on him to humiliate him. But yet, as he hung from the cross, by the nails in his hands and his feet, his very first words were to give and to offer forgiveness to those who did not deserve it. Of all the people in the world, those who deserved forgiveness the least were those who crucified him. But yet, our Lord Jesus gave us this example that we should follow him and forgive our enemies. So this morning, I'd like to continue sharing some thoughts on the second saying, which is found in Luke chapter 23, verse 39 through 43. Then one of the criminals who were hanged blasphemed him, saying, If you are the Christ, save yourself and us. But the other answering rebuked him, saying, Do you not even fear God, seeing you are under the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong. Verse 42. And he said to Jesus, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus said to him, Assuredly I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise. First of all, let me share some thoughts with you that I have about this story. I find it very interesting that while Jesus hung on the cross, he never once, not once, uttered a statement of defense. Not one time did he yell out, You've got the wrong man. Not one time did he say, I didn't commit an offense worthy of death. Why are you crucifying an innocent man? In fact, not only did Jesus utter no defense, none of his disciples protested his persecution. Not one disciple spoke out on behalf of our Lord Jesus Christ. They all remained silent as they watched their friend, their teacher, their Savior suffer intense pain. It is very interesting that the only person who spoke out in defense of Jesus was a convicted criminal, a thief, a robber, an unrighteous, sinful man. We're told in the Bible that this thief, while he was hanging on the cross next to Jesus, he had told the other thief, This man has done nothing wrong. This thief had the courage and the faith to stand up for Jesus. And this impressed our Lord Jesus so much that he told the man that he would be with him in paradise. This is a wonderful story. And there are some lessons that we can learn from Jesus' second saying from the cross. First, from the story, we learn the true meaning of salvation by grace. This condemned, unworthy thief received salvation. He didn't deserve it. In fact, if you read Matthew's account of the same story, this same event, you'll see that this thief had earlier also insulted the Lord Jesus. He had verbally abused and attacked Jesus. But as this man hung on the cross, his heart softened. He obtained a penitent heart. He wanted Jesus to forgive him, to remember him in the kingdom, which Jesus did. What moved him to change his heart? Why the sudden change of heart? It is because this man, he saw what had been done to Jesus. He saw the beatings. He saw the humiliation. He saw the soldiers gambling for his clothing. He saw him being punished worse than what they had received. But he also saw them. He saw the Lord Jesus asking his Father to forgive them for what they did, because they didn't know what they were doing. I'm convinced that his heart was so touched by those words, "Father, forgive them," that his heart was changed and he realized that only the Son of God could utter those words. So how can this criminal be saved? Some of you say, "Brother Richard, remember now, we're always, you know, we know that you cannot go to heaven unless you are baptized." I receive this question a lot. I say, how can the thief on the cross go to heaven when he wasn't baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of his sins? It's simple. It's a very simple answer. The Lord Jesus had not died yet. His spirit had not been given up yet. So therefore, by his spoken word, he could do anything. He could forgive anyone. But now that he is buried and resurrected, we must rely upon his spirit and the blood of Christ and the water to have our sins washed away, as it tells us in Acts chapter 2, verse 38. This was a convicted robber who was sentenced to death. He had probably been a thief for many years. He took things that didn't belong to him. He lived a sinful life. So how could he receive salvation? He received salvation through the unearned gift of God's grace. It is through this wonderful grace that we can be saved as well. Now let's look at Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3, verse 22 through 24. Even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ to all and on all who believe, for there is no difference. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Through Jesus Christ, we can be freely justified by the grace of God. Let me share with you an illustration, a story. During World War II, in 1944, there was a young man, a soldier named Bert Frizen. One day, his patrol reached the edge of a wooded area with an open field before them. Unknown to the Americans, on the other side of the field, waiting in the trenches about 200 yards away, was a whole battery of German soldiers. Now, this young man, Bert, was one of two that were sent out ahead to move into the clearing, what we call point men. And once he was halfway across the field, the remainder of his battalion followed. Suddenly, the Germans opened fire, and the machine gun fire ripped into both of Bert's legs. And the American battalion withdrew into the woods for protection. And they began to fire back and forth. And Bert laid helplessly in this small stream as all the shots went over his head. To him, there seemed no way out. To make matters worse, he now noticed that a German soldier was crawling towards him. Death appeared imminent to him. So he closed his eyes and he waited. But to his surprise, a considerable period of time passed without this expected attack by this German soldier. So he took a chance and he opened his eyes again. And he was startled because he saw the German kneeling at his side, smiling at him. He didn't notice that the shooting had stopped. The troops from both sides of the battlefield watched in quietness. Without any word, this mysterious German, he reached down and he lifted Bert up in his arms. And he proceeded to carry him to the safety of the American troops. And after he accomplished his self-appointed mission, still not speaking a word, this German soldier turned and walked back across the field to his own troops. No one dared break the silence at that moment. They couldn't believe what they were witnessing. However, a short while later, the shooting broke out again, and all those present had witnessed how one man risked everything for his enemy. You see, Bert's life was saved through the compassion of a man who was his enemy. Brothers and sisters, our salvation has been made available through the compassion of one man, Jesus Christ. To receive salvation, we must believe in our Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He also said, there is no other name in heaven by which we can be saved. No one, period, no one can save you except the Lord Jesus Christ. Your prayers must be to the Lord Jesus Christ. No one else can save you. We must repent of our sins. We must confess our faith in the Lord. We must be baptized for the forgiveness of our sins in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we must live faithfully to the end. The second thing we can learn from this story is that we learn that no matter what we have done in our past, we can still be saved. Now, I don't know for sure, but chances are the thief had not lived his life for God. He probably didn't attend the synagogue on a regular basis. He probably lived his life without regard for the things of God. But while he was on the cross, he changed. He became a spiritually minded person. The afterlife became suddenly important to him. As he was approaching death, he found he needed to get his life right with God. And because of his faith in Christ, this thief received salvation. Although his past was full of sin and unrighteousness, no matter what we have done in our past, God will accept us and give us another chance if we are willing to follow his will. God isn't interested in what we once were. Instead, he is interested in what we can become. Many people in the Bible overcame a very turbulent past and became great and faithful servants of the Lord. Abraham, the father of the Hebrew nation, at one time worshipped other gods. Let's turn to Joshua chapter 24. Joshua 24, verse 2. Joshua 24, verse 2. And Joshua said to all the people, "Thus says the Lord God of Israel, your fathers, including Terah, the father of Abraham, and the father of Nahor, dwelt on the other side of the river in old times, and they served other gods." David, the third king of Israel, although he committed adultery, he had Uzziah put to death, killed on the battlefront, so he could have Bathsheba, his wife. He became a man after God's own heart. And Paul, the great apostle of Jesus Christ, at one time had the Christians arrested and killed. Even though at one time these men lived ungodly lives, they were given another chance. And eventually they became great servants of the Lord. And so can we. We must forget our past failures and focus on our future successes. Paul put it very good, put it in a very good way. Let's turn to Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3, verse 13. "Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus." All too many of us think that I have committed such terrible sins in the past. There's nothing I can do there's no way God can forgive me for my sins. You're wrong. Once we have been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, once we have had our sins washed away, we are a newborn baby in Christ. We are to walk a new path, a new life in Christ. But if we continue to live as we lived in the past, if in the past we were a sinner and we committed sins, in the past we had all of this ugliness in our life, and we continue to live in that same lifestyle, then we have not truly accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior. We have not truly repented of our sins, which means to turn away from. We have chosen instead to live the life of sin. Then your salvation becomes questionable, doesn't it? The third thing we learn from this story is that we must accept God's salvation before it's too late. You know, the other thief on the cross, he had an opportunity to get his life right with God. His life ended without salvation. Maybe if he had a few more years, he would eventually have made the decision to follow Christ. But his time ran out. Sometimes we hear people say, "Well, you know, I believe in God and all of that stuff, but I'm not ready to give up my party life, my fun life yet." Brothers and sisters, time is running out. You know, there was several years ago, my family and I used to listen to a preacher on television. And I remember one story that he told that really stuck with me. He told us about this young girl, 17 years old. And during one of his evangelical services, they had what they called an altar call. They asked people to give their life to Christ. And he noticed that during the service, she'd been crying, she seemed to be moved by everything that she had heard, but yet when it came to giving her life to Christ, she just held back. So afterwards, he spoke to her and asked her what was keeping her from accepting Christ. And she said, I'm young. I'm 17 years old. There's a lot of things I want to do. I want to have fun in life. But if I become a Christian, I can't have any fun. Although we know that that's not true. We have just as much fun as anyone else. It's just a lot more cleaner. She says, maybe another time. There's a party coming up that I really want to go to. Because there's a boy there that I really like. And I think that I can, you know, we can hit it off. So after the party, I'll come again and maybe I'll give my life to Christ. The following week, as they were having the service, they heard this terrible crashing noise outside. People went running outside, and this young woman was laying on the steps of the church. She had gone through the windshield of a car. Her time had run out. We had, in this very church, a truth seeker who used to sit in the back here. She had decided, she was in her 70s, she had decided to accept Christ as her Savior. But she also, we had a spiritual convocation coming up. She wanted to be baptized, but during that time, she also wanted to go back to New York to visit her family, visit her children. And she said, when I come back from the spiritual convocation, from New York, the next spiritual convocation that you have, then maybe I will be baptized. Unfortunately, she passed away of cancer before she received baptism for the remission of her sins. Our time is running out. We may walk out of this chapel this morning, get in the car, and never make it. Life is so unpredictable. We don't know. We might have only a very short time left. We need to place our faith in Jesus and receive God's wonderful gift of salvation before it's too late. And we have to continue to strive to hold fast to our salvation all the way to the very end. You know, I've talked about this before. God gives us choices in life to make. Adam and Eve was given a choice of obeying God and not eating of the forbidden fruit, and having eternal life in the Garden of Eden forever. And they chose to disobey God, and they suffered the consequences. Throughout the Bible, we see the disobedience of man, man making the wrong choices. We also see right choices being made. Daniel and his three friends. And I also talked about in the past why there was only three crosses. Do you ever wonder that? Why there wasn't 10, 12, 15 crosses up there, people hanging? And why was our Lord Jesus the only one, and he was placed in the center with the thieves on each side? Because God shows us that up to the very end, we all have a choice to make. We can choose to live a life, to accept Christ as our Savior and live a life of righteousness. Or we can choose to live like the other thief rejecting Christ and dying in our sins and suffering eternal damnation. The choice is ours. We must remember the cross. Remember the story about the thief. Actually, remember the story about the two thieves. The one who accepted the Lord Jesus as his Savior, whose heart was changed, and he repented, and he received his just reward. All the sins that he had committed in the past were gone, were done with. All that mattered was those words, those last words that came out of his mouth. And we also need to remember the other thief, who saw and witnessed the same things as his friend. But he had such a hardened heart that he chose to die in his sins rather than accepting Jesus as his Savior. The choice is ours. We praise and thank God that we've had this opportunity to gather together this morning in the Sabbath service. And I hope that these words of encouragement, these words of learning from our Lord Jesus on the cross, will help us to remember that the grace of God, the salvation of God, is such a wonderful gift, and that we should never, ever take it for granted. That we should never, ever think that we can continue to live a life of sin, a life of unrighteousness, and expect our Lord Jesus to continue to forgive us.